Shortly after I started work here at Palmer, I came into this space when it was deserted so I could take a personal tour of all the stained glass windows. I began here to the right with the angel, showing the angel announcing to Mary that she would become the mother of Jesus, followed by the birth, and so on, all the way around to the Last Supper, followed by the resurrection. And I thought, whoever designed these windows left out a key event in Jesus' life. My first reaction, that's really human nature to want to avoid the cross. Only later did I learn the crucifixion window was covered by the new organ, and you can still see it from the outside. It is true, however, that left to our own devices, to our own human nature, we would do just about anything to avoid the cross. We see human nature at work in Peter in today's gospel. Just before this passage, Peter recognized Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. But when Jesus begins to tell his disciples that it was necessary for the Messiah, necessary as in part of God's plan, necessary for the Messiah to suffer and be killed and after 3 days rise again, Peter pulls Jesus aside in an attempt to shut him up. The next time Jesus predicts his suffering and death, these passages are commonly called the Passion, his Passion. Human nature kicks in again when the disciples respond by asking Jesus, which one of us is the greatest? And after the third Passion prediction, James and John asked Jesus if they can sit at his right hand in glory. They've just got it all wrong. And to be fair, the disciples had grown up steeped in the traditional view that the Messiah would bring victory to the people of God through the use of force. But Jesus understood his victory would be won not over flesh and blood oppressors, but over the supernatural forces of oppression, and that the battle would be won not by martial force, but by death and resurrection. The verb used by both Peter and Jesus is rather harsh. We can imagine Peter saying, "Shut up," and Jesus responding by saying, "No, you shut up." This is a heated argument, not a genteel disagreement. But I do want to clear up what Jesus means when he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." The Hebrew equivalent for Satan, ha Satan, is not a proper name, but a word that means the accuser or the adversary. Peter is being an adversary by trying to get Jesus to follow a human path rather than his divine path. Jesus tells him, "You're in my way. Get behind me. I'm following the divine way, and if you want to follow me, then get behind me." At this point, Jesus pivots toward the crowd. He calls them over and says, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and let him follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the good news will save it." How do we lose our lives for Jesus and the good news? We all know what self-denial looks like. But what is self-denial for the sake of Jesus and the good news that he brought us? What is it like to follow the way of the cross? I think that's an extremely personal question, even an intimate question? Because for each of us, even though the answers might be similar, they'll be different, because each of us has a unique story. I think we all have crosses to bear, whether we feel ourselves to be religious people or not. Life gives us crosses. Failed relationships, children in crises, job losses, money troubles, ill health, death. So what's the difference between just bearing up and bearing the cross? I really think there's just one basic difference, but I don't really know how to explain this except to say, look around you. Look at those beautiful stained glass windows that depict Jesus' life, but also look at those small cream-colored stations of the cross underneath them. Those stations depict the journey of Christ to the cross. He is condemned to death. Along the way, he falls 3 times. He's met by his mother, by a woman who wipes his face, by a man who carries his cross for him for a time, by some more women. But in the end, his clothes are taken away. He's nailed to the cross, and he dies. This was the path God chose for his Messiah, a path of suffering and death and resurrection. This is the path we all follow in our lives. The minute we are conceived, we are also condemned to death. That is the way of all flesh. We will be met along the way by those who help us or pity us or hurt us, but in the end, we will die. So what is the difference between just bearing up and bearing the cross? It's best expressed through story, so let me tell you one. When I first met my sister-in-law 30 years ago, I thought she was narrow-minded and judgmental. Actually, I'll rephrase that. She was narrow-minded and judgmental. She'd been raised in the Church of Christ, and it showed. She was a devoted Christian, however, and when her son was diagnosed with a rare genetic disorder, which meant he would never walk or talk, she leaned on the Lord for her strength. Over the years, Renee became an extraordinary advocate for her son, and today, even though he still can't walk or talk or do much of anything, he owns his own shredding business because he can shred, and he employs over a dozen other people with varying abilities. When Renee chose to embrace what others would see as her cross, she transformed. And if you ask her to tell her story, she will give God all the glory. Today, there is no one I admire more. The way of Jesus is to embrace our own pain and the pain of others, just as his passion embraces us here in this place. When we pick up the cross to follow Jesus, it's because we've discovered in his story that nothing in this world, nothing in our lives, can defeat the love and light and life of God. The way of the cross is the way of hope. Amen.